Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aww yeah?
In this week's podcast, we're talking all about how to complain in English. So, as you're probably aware, we have a culture of not really complaining. So, when we do it in an extremely polite way. So, we'll teach you lots of phrases and tips on how to complain politely, whether you're at work, traveling, in restaurants or hotels, and in many more places. And as always, if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you'll have some bonus tips and expressions there. So make sure you check that out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
dreamy
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, or even
driving to your parents' house.
Oh yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. And by our newest fluency coach, the Thunder from Down Under, Ollie. How's it going, Ollie?
What's up, everybody? Ethan, Andrea. Hello, listeners.
You and I would actually say that differently, wouldn't we? Thunder from Down Under. I think you and Andrea would say it more similarly to each other.
I'd say Thunder from Down Under.
And I would say Thunder from Down Under. So, yeah.
I just realized how Australian I sounded.
Right? You guys have like the same pronunciation there with like the R, the what's that called? The non-rhotic R. But Ollie has different intonation when he says it, like that upward Aussie intonation.
Exactly right. Like Aussies always have upward, well, almost always have upward intonation when they speak a sentence.
Always sound like they're asking questions.
Yeah, they say that, don't they?
So today we're talking about a really fantastic topic. All three of us, actually, we live in like Latin cultures, and I think Latin cultures have a fame for people being very direct when they are complaining about something, when they're not happy about a certain service or about the way that something goes. They'll be very direct in saying that and making known that they're not content, which, of course, there's always exceptions. But in English-speaking cultures, on the other hand, we tend to be very non-direct. Most people, if you're listening to this, you probably know that in English-speaking cultures, we're super polite. We're sometimes like overly polite. Just like an example, I know at least in the US, maybe you'll be in the subway, for example. You're in New York City, it's really crowded. Someone steps on your foot and you might say sorry, which seems like really absurd because you're apologizing after they step on your foot, but it's kind of like sorry for being in your way. So the same thing happens when we complain, that we will do this in a very roundabout way. We won't be so direct.
Yeah, it's true. And I think also, like, as a Brit that lives abroad and in a Latin country as well, it's something that I struggled with at the beginning because I wasn't used to it at all. And I used to get really frustrated when I wasn't receiving the same sort of customer service as back home, or that people didn't really care that I wasn't happy with something, or that I was waiting or not being attended and things like that. So it's really important, and it's an interesting thing to know about our culture as well. So that if you are in the UK, Australia, the US, that you kind of adapt to our way of complaining as well, so that you don't come across too rude. And then that way someone's more likely to help you. So it's a really useful topic.
That's a great point.
So I think these are really useful too, not only in customer service. Like, of course, maybe you go to a restaurant and your food comes cold and you want to make it known without doing it in too rude of a way. But I think it can be really useful too, you know, if you're at work and maybe you need to complain to your boss about a coworker, or you're studying in an English-speaking country or an English-speaking university and you want to make some complaint to your professor. And of course, if you're traveling as well, you might find a variety of situations where things aren't adequate, and maybe you're paying a lot of money and stuff, and so you want to make sure that you are getting the treatment that you deserve. So I think today's conversation should help you with all of that. But before we get into any of that, we're going to give a shout out to a very special listener out there.
Yeah, and today's shout out comes from Sylvia93 from Italy. Obviously, it's a 5-star rating, and she says exactly what the doctor ordered. If your goal was to inspire and teach English in a fun and natural way, well, you've really hit the nail on the head. Thank you so much for your podcast and online courses. I'm an English teacher and I've completely changed my approach to teaching and learning as well. I'm so in love with English now that I feel my students too are getting more and more passionate. You guys are contagious. Oh yeah.
That's amazing. She even spelled "oh yeah" correctly.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's A-W-W. Because a lot of people mistakenly put "oh yeah" and it's not "oh yeah," it's "ah yeah," but that's hard because that sound doesn't exist in a lot of languages. So she hit the nail on the head with that one. And she also said, as like the name of this review, exactly what the doctor ordered. What does that mean?
It basically means what I needed. It's like you're missing something or you need something from the doctor, and the doctor gives you exactly what you needed. So basically Sylvia here means we at Real Life English have given her and her students exactly what they needed.
Very well said. So if you want us to shout you out as well, then you can head over to Apple Podcasts, just like Sylvia did, and leave us a 5-star review. And the great thing about doing that is that you're helping other learners from around the world to learn English with us. And if you're not listening to this on Apple Podcasts, then you can feel free to go over to the show notes of this page, where you'll also find all of the expressions, the vocabulary, the links that we're talking about in this episode, and you can leave us a comment there telling us what you think, and maybe we'll shout you out as well. So that will be over at reallifeglobal.com. Click on podcasts and look for today's episode. So we have a new section. I think we've tried it maybe once or twice before. So you could also let us know what you think over on the show notes. Incredible idioms.
So we're going to share a couple of idioms with you today that could be valuable if you want to complain about something. For example, at work, maybe you're complaining about somebody that is not pulling their weight. So this idiom is to pull one's weight. And basically what this one means is that if someone isn't pulling their weight, it means that they're not really doing their part of a project or taking responsibility for their part in what you are trying to do. So it means that things aren't very fair or very equal because they're basically not doing what they said they would, or they're kind of end of the bargain as well.
Mm-hmm. That's super frustrating when you're working on a project with someone at work, or I remember this back in school, I think it happened even more, is that like you'd be getting graded the same, but maybe the other people weren't pulling their weight as much. They weren't as responsible. So how would you use this, Ollie, for example, if you're at work and you have a complaint about one of your coworkers and you want to make it known to your boss?
Well, I was just sitting here thinking, I don't know if I would actually like complain about someone not pulling their weight, because I'm like going back to what Andrea said at the start, that we often, I don't know, a little bit shy or nervous to complain. But yeah, if you need to complain about someone not pulling their weight, you obviously need to go to your boss or the person in charge, your manager or the project manager, and go to them and say, for example, Thomas isn't pulling his weight on this project. I'm wondering if you could assign me or give me another partner. That's all you need to do. Make it known to the manager, and the manager can deal with that situation.
Exactly. Like you said, I'm also pretty non-confrontational, but obviously if you're having to pull long hours or something because another person's not pulling their weight, maybe you'll get to a point of frustration where it's just like, you're like, I can't take it anymore. I have to do something about this.
I think frustration is a great word there to use.
So we have another expression that's kind of similar. What is that one, Andrea?
So to pick up the slack. So usually if you're picking up the slack, it means that you have to do extra work to make up for someone else not doing it.
So kind of like going back, Ollie, to your complaint, how can you imagine maybe your boss might respond if they maybe weren't so helpful or something in this case?
Well, if your boss isn't very helpful, he or she might ask you, oh, that's okay, can you pick up the slack? In the meantime, I will talk to Thomas, my example person. And then once I talk to Thomas, or once I talk to your colleague, then they will pull their weight, and then you won't have to pick up the slack. You won't have to do as much, or you won't have to do someone else's work, which is incredibly frustrating.
Totally. So you can see that these two, they go really well together, because if someone's not pulling their weight, you probably would have to pick up the slack. So definitely if you're at work and you're feeling like that you're the person who's having to pick up the slack, then maybe it's because your colleagues aren't pulling their weight. They're not doing their fair share. So I think that these can be really useful as long as you use them in a polite way to complain, along with pretty much everything else that we're going to talk about in the main part of today's podcast. Yeah, Global Citizen. Would you like transcripts for these episodes of the podcast so that you can understand everything? And how would you like to practice what you learn here by speaking with other listeners? It sounds like a dream, right? Well, now it is a reality. We're super excited to announce that we have started testing and are getting ready to release the much anticipated Real Life English podcast and speaking app, where you will be able to do all of this at the touch of a button for free. But before we launch our app to thousands and eventually millions of learners from around the world, we're inviting a small group of our friends and special fans to get a unique first look. I want to invite you to join us for private beta testing. You will exclusively be allowed to download and test the app and participate in scheduled speaking events. Most importantly, we'll use your feedback to guide us in building a world-class real-life English listening and speaking experience. To apply for our private beta testing program, go to reallifeglobal.com/reallifeapp or click the link in the description of this podcast. So that said, Andrea, how should they begin? If maybe, you know, whether they're at a restaurant and their food arrives cold, or they're really frustrated about a colleague at work or at school.
Yeah, so obviously we've already talked quite a lot about how we tend to be polite even when complaining. So it's a really good starting point, because if you're polite when complaining, you're more likely to get the person's attention in a positive way and for them to actually listen to what you have to say. Whereas if you go in all guns blazing, sometimes we say, which is like when you're really angry and you just offload all your anger on that person, then they're not really going to want to talk to you or try to help you. So start off by being polite and try to explain the problem to them as well. So some good expressions that we could use here is, I'm sorry to bother you, or I'm sorry to trouble you, or excuse me, pardon me, I wonder if you could help me. So it's not even like, help me, can you help me now, or things like this, you know. We're very much like, I wonder if you could help me, or could you help me please. Like, already you can hear how polite it is.
Yeah, instead of saying my plate is cold, you'd be much better off saying, hey, I'm sorry to bother you, but my plate's a little bit cold, could you bring me something hotter? Or, excuse me, this came cold, can you help me out?
Yeah, both of you were using modal verbs there, which again is super important, because that will make your request polite as possible. Another couple of terms that you could use is I believe or I think, because sometimes when you complain, you might be wrong. So it's really important that you know what you're complaining about and you know that you've made the right decision to complain in the first place.
And even if you're not quite sure, I think that those can be really helpful to kind of show a little bit of humility, which people always appreciate if you're going to make a complaint, that you're at least humble about it, right?
Yeah, because it's going to be very embarrassing if, you know, you go in there like very firm in what you believe and not using modal verbs or being very polite about it, and then you have to like do a full turn and be like, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake. Like, that's going to be really embarrassing.
That's totally right. You might save yourself some face in that case.
Oh, save yourself some face.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't think we'd use that.
Oh, really?
Save some face. That means that you're avoiding embarrassment, basically. It's like face, I guess, is like your reputation.
I see.
Would you use that in the UK, Andrea?
Yeah, we do use that one, yeah, to save face.
Maybe we do in Australia too.
Could be. Maybe you've just been outside of Australia for too long.
maybe.
You're forgetting your English. Would you, by the way, I was going to ask, in Australia, would you use more excuse me or pardon me?
We use them interchangeably. It doesn't really matter which one you use. You could say excuse me, pardon me. I would say excuse me is more common, but pardon me is more formal and more polite. Slightly more formal.
And how about in the UK, Andrea?
Yeah, I wouldn't really say pardon me. I think it's too formal. Maybe older generations would use it, and I don't know, more like posh people, you know, like people that tend to speak more RP and things like that, they might say pardon me. But generally, I just think that not many people use this phrase as much. It is very polite, but it is a lot more formal. So that's why I think more people would use excuse me.
In Australia, if we don't hear someone or we don't understand someone, we normally say pardon instead of excuse me or what. I remember when one of my Brazilian friends came to Australia and he used to say to my sister, what, what? And my sister said to him, oh, can you tell him to stop saying what and tell him to use pardon because it's more polite. It's more, you know, formal. And I was like, oh, it's, yeah, it's quite funny, actually.
That's a big mistake that I think a lot of English learners make, is that they overuse what instead of saying excuse me or pardon me.
That's what I had to do as well here when I first moved to Barcelona. In the school I was working in, if kids didn't understand me, they'd always say what, what, and like, you know, really like with the confused expression and everything, and I found it so rude. And I know that they they weren't being rude, so I just explained to them, in English it sounds more rude this way, so you should use these alternatives.
Mm-hmm. When in doubt, say excuse me.
Yeah.
Or pardon me.
Yeah.
In the US, I think pardon me is quite formal as well. And I think it's quite rare nowadays, except for maybe the exception might be in the south of the States. I think they use pardon a lot.
Mm.
The conclusion we draw here is that Australians are the most polite, right?
I think it is useful to know that if you are complaining and you didn't understand the reply of the person, don't say what.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not with that strong T at the end. So what else is really important when you're going in with a complaint, Andrea?
So it's important to state your feelings. So once you've kind of explained the problem, you can then explain a little bit more about how you feel about that. Maybe you can express if there's been a mistake, maybe there's been a misunderstanding about something, or like, for example, in a restaurant, maybe the service has been really poor, maybe you've been waiting a really long time for your food, or maybe it's arrived and the quality is really poor, and you might say something like, it's not really the kind of service I expect, or I'm quite disappointed with the quality of this. Things like this, just to kind of explain why it's a problem as well.
Yeah, this part of the process of complaining, it's super important to be constructive with the person you're talking to, and to be factual as well. I think we mentioned being factual and being correct with your complaint earlier. So super constructive and super factual in order to get your message across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important too that like you, if it's something maybe that's really frustrating for you, try to like calm yourself down. Don't take your anger out on them, because like a lot of times we might say like you're shooting the messenger in some sense. Like maybe sometimes it's not that person's fault. That's like, you know, whatever, your plate came out cold. It was maybe something with, they're really busy, or it was something with a chef or something. So you want to make sure that you're kind of being fair and everything, and you're not making someone's day really harder than it needs to be already, when maybe it's not their fault.
Yeah. And actually, I see a lot of these videos like on TikTok where people get really angry with customer service staff. And at the end of the day, the person who is angry and complaining and aggressive, they actually don't get what they want. So it backfires on them. So rather than getting a result, they get nothing.
Right. What does that mean if something backfires?
So basically it like comes back onto you. So you're like getting angry and lashing out maybe, but then it kind of comes back onto you. It's like if you think of a car backfiring, I think that's kind of where it comes from, right? Sometimes with the exhaust and...
Oh, I thought it was from like a gun that would backfire, and so it would actually like hurt you instead of like the person that you were aiming towards.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Yeah, so you're aiming at someone, but then you shoot yourself in the end. Yeah.
But that's actually, there's another related expression, that like you shoot yourself in the foot by doing something.
Yeah.
Like maybe you go to a hotel and you complain about something in the room, and then they realize that they accidentally had given you an upgrade without meaning to. And so you like shot yourself in the foot, because then they're going to like downgrade you down to a smaller room, just because you were, I don't know, maybe you complained about the mini fridge not being fully stocked or something like that.
I was going to say, if you're complaining about a better room and then they give you a worse room, I think your complaint goes to the next level.
That really backfired on you, right?
That backfired.
In the US, of course, for restaurants, if you're getting bad service, you would just leave a bad tip.
Ah, because in Australian culture, we don't tip, actually.
Hmm.
Not at all.
No, not at all. I mean, maybe in the big cities, people might do it because they want to help that person out. But it's not in our culture to tip, because we're already paying a lot for the food. And actually, waiters and people who work in customer service, they get a pretty decent wage anyway. So.
Hmm.
Well, that's really interesting because I didn't know that you don't tip in Australia. In the UK, we do tip, but it's not like in the US where you have to give like 20% or something like that. We'd just maybe round up the bill or leave a few pounds if the service has been good. If the service wasn't good, some people will still maybe leave a pound or something, but some people might not leave anything.
I have a love-hate relationship with tipping because obviously it's not a good feeling when your bill arrives, and especially because like food is also, in general, when you go out to eat with people, especially like alcohol is very expensive. So it's like if you split a bottle of wine or anything like that, then it's already quite expensive. And then it's like you get the bill and then you have to add 20% on that number. So, I mean, if the service was good, then you have to add 20%. So that's like the part I don't like is that like the bill arrives, it's already quite high. And then you're like, okay, and it's not even that, I have to pay more than that. But the thing that I do like is that almost always you get exceptional service in restaurants. Like last time I was in the States, I remember in fact, like we went out to eat with my parents. And my mom ordered in the States, a lot of times we have like specials. So they'll have kind of like meals that they have like just that night. And she ordered the special. And I think because like first she was considering another dish and then she decided to change. And then the first thing that she was considering came. And so she pointed it out to the waiter and he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, and my mom said, oh, it's okay. You know, I'll just eat this. It looks good and stuff. And then he actually brought her like in a doggy box or a to-go box, the original thing that she wanted, so she could like take it home and still try it. And he was saying like, you know, that he really wanted her to get to try it and to enjoy it and everything. So, and obviously they didn't include that. So you can get like really good service like that in the US, and that's something definitely I can't imagine ever happening here in Barcelona, for example.
No. Actually, Ethan, you raised two good points. Your mum was brought the wrong dish. Again, in Australia, if you order a chicken schnitzel with chips and salad, but you get a chicken schnitzel with chips and vegetables, I think we would just eat it. We wouldn't complain that we got the wrong food. So that's quite sweet.
That's what I would do too. My mom complains all the time in restaurants and I'm like turned bright red. But I think me and my brother like never complained just because like we grew up with my mom always, you know, saying like if the food's too cold to like take it back and heat it up, or, you know, if there's something wrong with the dish, if it's not cooked enough or whatever the case. So
another thing that I wanted to ask is just say one of our learners goes to the United States and they're not happy with the service. Is it culturally acceptable to complain and not pay the tip? Or is it absolutely no, you must pay this tip regardless of whether you were happy or delighted with the service?
It's extremely rude if you didn't leave any tip whatsoever. Kind of like it's thought of usually like the minimum that you could possibly leave is 10%. But people, waiters in the service industry and stuff, they work really hard. And the difference is, I think a lot of people don't understand this, is that their salary, like what they're actually getting paid hourly, is below the minimum wage because they're expected that they'll get tips. And so like a lot of times foreigners, maybe they won't tip at all, or they'll tip like 5% or 10%, which is very low. I mean, it means that you really, there was something really wrong. You really weren't happy with the meal. Ideally, if the service was like at least decent, you should always tip at least 15%. And if the service was good, you should tip 20%, or some people will even tip like 22 or 25%. I never go above 20% personally, but depending on the person, like some people are definitely very generous in that way. Definitely do not leave a place without tipping. I had one time that I did do that because the service was like horrendous. Like the waitress didn't come over to us at all. It was very expensive too. And so, you know, we just kind of like paid the bill and left and without giving a tip because we were abhorred with the service. So I think unless it's like that bad that the waitress is or the waiter is completely not paying you any attention, I think that it's like you always need to leave a tip. What does that mean? I said a word that people might not know, abhorred. If you're abhorred with something.
Abhorred means you're like really disgusted or really angry.
You could also say like you're appalled or something would be another one as well, right?
Appalled. Mm-hmm. Really upset.
Awesome. So I've kind of gone off on a rant there, but what's kind of like the next step? Once you've kind of like made your complaint, you've done it in a polite way, maybe instead of just like leaving a horrible tip, what are some things that you can do instead?
So the next thing to do would be to ask for action. So it will probably help if you end your complaint with a question. This way, your complaint doesn't sound like a command as well. It's not like you are telling the person you're complaining to what they should do next and how you want it to be resolved. So you might say to them, how can we fix this? Or what do you recommend? Or what do you suggest? And that way you're kind of then, it's like putting the ball back in their court, and they're going to tell you how they're going to then help you and how they're going to resolve the situation.
That's a good expression. You're putting the ball back in their court. What does that mean?
If the ball's in your court, it means that it's time for you to take action. It's your responsibility to take the next step. So I usually think of it with tennis, because if the ball's in your court, then you have to hit the ball and make a decision to do something. And lots of people use this as well, I think, with relationships. Like when they're talking about something that's going on, they're like, oh, I don't know what to do next. And then you kind of work out where the ball is in the court, if it's in your court or their court.
Oh, relationships, gosh. Hopeless romantic.
What does that mean if you're a hopeless romantic?
If you're a hopeless romantic, it means you struggle to fall in love or maintain a relationship, something like that.
I was thinking of that as like someone who, like, I don't know, they have like bad luck in relationships, but they still believe in love, you know, and everything, and they still like are always trying.
That's me.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson. So if you're like talking to someone in like service or something and you're not really happy with the solution they're providing, what could you do next?
So Andrea mentioned about like putting the ball back into their court, but you could also ask for something. And again, use modal verbs, because if you use modal verbs, you're more likely going to get a good response, mm-hmm. or you're more likely to get a result. So you could say, would you mind? Could I please? If you've paid for a service, it's important that you say, I would like a refund, which means you get your money back. Or if they don't offer refunds, quite often they'll give vouchers. I know, for example, when the coronavirus hit, I had a plane ticket back to Australia, and unfortunately some airlines don't give refunds. They don't give your money back. They give you a voucher, which means it's basically money in the form of a piece of paper, which you can spend again. So yeah, it's important to know that you can ask for something, but be polite in the way you do it.
Yeah. If you're like in retail or something, if like maybe you want to return an outfit or like a pair of shoes, like because they weren't comfortable or whatever is the case, then they might call that store credit as well. Instead of saying like a voucher, they'll give you store credit.
Yeah. We call that a credit note. I don't know if it's changed now, but when I worked in retail, yeah, you could get credit. It was a credit note. And that's...
back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. Thanks.
No. Ethan calling us old again.
But it's probably a good thing to point out as well, actually, that sometimes rules are different in different countries as well, because in the UK, you can return something in a store without your receipt. But I didn't know that when I moved to Spain. So I remember going to like Zara or something to return something, and I couldn't find my receipt. And they just did not want to help me at all. And I thought they were being so rude. They were just like, nope, you need a receipt. Nope, you need a receipt, and like nothing more. And I was like, really? But I just want to exchange it for a different size. I didn't want my money back or anything. And so that was good to know quite early on as well. You know, you have to keep your receipt here. But in the UK, you don't. Like maybe there's a bit more trust there or something.
That's interesting. When I lived in Bolivia for 2 years, they'd actually, a lot of places don't give receipts. So if you buy something and you're not happy with it, you just have to sit in the corner and cry. In some places, not all places. I love Bolivia, as people who have listened to this podcast know. It's interesting how different countries have different policies and ways of handling those types of situations.
You got to know how to navigate those cultural differences when shopping. In the US, for example, like if you weren't satisfied, if you went to a clothing shop and the person wasn't being very helpful or something with your complaint, then you could say, may I please speak with your manager, or I would like to speak with your manager, basically saying that you want to escalate the problem because you don't think that this person has the capacity. And sometimes they might even offer to get their manager for you if you're maybe being persistent or something, or you're not happy with the solution that they're providing, then they might say that. So that can be like another option for you. Would you say that you could do the same in Australia or the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. In Australia, it's the same. From my personal experience, I remember when I was 18 working in like in a restaurant, and someone would complain about the food being cold or something like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared and nervous. Let me get the manager, because like the manager, they're trained and they get paid extra money to deal with these situations as well. So yeah, just put all the responsibility on the manager.
Yeah, it's true. And then if you're the manager, it's not the nicest thing. So like sometimes in my experience, you know, having the people that really aren't satisfied that the fire couldn't be put out with someone like maybe, you know, in a different position, then it's coming to you and you're like, oh, what am I going to say now? I have to get ready for this one.
Oh, boy. Okay, so maybe to wrap up, we could give our listeners some useful expressions that they could use. We've kind of given you some general suggestions like using modal verbs, using I think, I believe, so that you're making your complaint in more of a humble manner. But I think there's several kind of like phrases and stuff that we'll use a lot when we're complaining. Do you want to start off with one, Andrea?
Sure. So, of course, remember to start off being polite. You could say there seems to have been a misunderstanding, or there seems to be a misunderstanding.
Right. So what is a misunderstanding?
So a misunderstanding is when two people or more don't quite see eye to eye or agree on something. So maybe there's been a miscommunication as well. That's another example here, is that maybe someone communicated something in a way that wasn't very clear and it was understood in a different way as well.
Right. I think that that's really good too, because it's, you're not saying like to that person, like you're wrong. You're saying there is a misunderstanding, or there's been a misunderstanding, to kind of say like, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you're wrong, but we're just not understanding each other. So we need to get to a place where we are understanding each other and everyone's happy. Do you want to share another one, Ollie?
Yeah. So another one that you could use is, I'm afraid there's a problem. And if you're afraid of something, it doesn't mean you're actually scared of something. It's basically, I'm afraid of snakes. I am afraid of snakes. If you say, I'm afraid there's a problem, it means it's another way of saying, I'm sorry, but there's a problem. And that's another way of, you know, kind of signaling to the person that there's, again, a miscommunication, or that there is something wrong with what you've received.
You could use this in a lot of situations, I suppose. You could say like, I'm afraid my soup is cold. I'm afraid there's a hair in my cake.
if I did get hair in my food, I think that's something that I would definitely complain about. I think that's like worse than having cold food.
Yeah.
Or the wrong food on your plate.
Definitely, definitely.
Because I gag when there's hair in my food. And to gag is like when you kind of like...
You feel like you're about to vomit, right?
Can I say this? Yeah, like... Sorry, everybody.
I have to put like a warning on the front of this podcast, like do not listen to it while you're eating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so embarrassing. You should meet my dad.
All right, so moving on, what's the next one?
You could also say like, I think, again, so it's not really being firm at this stage. Like maybe later you might want to be a bit more firm if you're fully informed and aware of the problem. But like, for example, if you're waiting a really long time for your drink, don't say, you forgot my drink. That's very accusative, you know. So you might say, oh, excuse me, I think you may have forgotten my drink. Just as a nice reminder.
That's really funny, though, actually, that we would say it that way, because it's like, you definitely know that person like forgot your drink. But we would still say it this way. I think you forgot my drink, even though you're completely, you're 100% sure that they forgot it.
It could be an honest mistake by the waitress or the waiter. So again, I think it's really important to keep it as polite as possible. And as Andrea said, it's important that you don't accuse that person of forgetting your drink, because it might be a true mistake.
Exactly. I think too, it's really humbling to work as a waiter or a waitress or in the service industry in general, because I definitely know like what my first job was as a busboy, which is, I don't know if you guys have these in your country, but it's the person who like picks up the plates and like kind of cleans the table after people are finished eating, maybe serve drinks. That was like one of the things I had to do. When you work in a restaurant and stuff, when you have that experience, then you have a lot more empathy for the person that's serving you, because it is a really stressful job sometimes when the restaurant gets really full. And so it's really good to have empathy with these people and be patient and give them reminders and stuff instead of accusing them. You could also say, for example, I'm not very happy with whatever the thing is. So you could say like, oh, I'm not really happy with the fish. It doesn't taste so fresh. Could I get something else, please?
Yeah. And would you do that even if it's like, because obviously if like maybe it's undercooked or something like that, then you probably definitely want to send it back. But like if you're just not happy with it, would you say that in the US people would complain about that?
I wouldn't. My mom definitely would.
Yeah.
It depends on the person, right?
Sorry, mom, if you're listening to this podcast. But yeah, you definitely could. If you're, I mean, I don't do it because I'm not very confrontational, but if you are the type of person that you're not satisfied with it and you're paying a lot of money for it and you want to have something that you're going to enjoy, then by all means say like, I'm not very happy with this. Like, can I have something else? And I think at least like if you're in a good restaurant, obviously at McDonald's, I don't think they're going to do anything for you. But if you're at like a good sit down restaurant, we would call it. So a place where you're sitting down and you're going to be paying a tip and everything, then, you know, I think that their objective is for you to be happy, for you to leave having had a good experience, for you to tell your friends about it or to come back or whatever the case is. So they want to make sure that you are enjoying what you're eating. All right. So I think we have one more here. Do you want to let it rip, Thunder from Down Under?
Another one that we have here for you is it leaves a lot to be desired. As Ethan said earlier, when you go out, you expect to get a type of service. And if you're not enjoying the fish or you ask for a medium rare steak and it comes well done, which means really cooked and really chewy, you're basically, if you say this, you're basically saying this restaurant or this food didn't meet my expectations.
Mm-hmm. Which I think at this point, if you're using that, it's already maybe that does get a bit direct, a little bit more direct, right? If you're saying like it leaves a lot to be desired, because that's obviously you're not complimenting at all. But that is something that you could use, because at least in the US, because we have like this tipping culture and everything, like usually the waiter will come over a couple times and ask you, you know, how's the food and everything. And you could say like, you could like balance that out by maybe saying, oh, like I really liked the risotto, but the fish leaves a lot to be desired or something like that. And maybe they'll try to...
I don't know. Is it just me or it feels like a bit of a cheap shot?
It's kind of like a formal insult, isn't it really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, I guess. But depending on... I think it all depends on your delivery. If you're saying it, you know, with a smile and everything, then they're probably going to try to solve your problem. Or maybe they'll tell you, you know, to get out and, you know, go try McDonald's.
I'm just imagining Ethan in a restaurant with a big smile on his face saying, it leaves a lot to be desired.
I'll have to do some sort of like scientific experiment going to restaurants and making that comment and see what kind of service I get so I can report back. All right, so if you enjoyed this topic and maybe you're like us and you work in the service industry or you've worked in the service industry and you might have people complaining to you, maybe you will actually have the experience that you're working in tourism or you're working in an English-speaking country and, you know, you'll have to deal with someone complaining to you in English, telling you that your service leaves a lot to be desired. So over on Instagram, you're going to find an exclusive lesson that's going to complement this podcast where we will actually tell you how to accept and or reject a complaint. So, you know, if you're on the receiving end, you can know how to do that with poise. So be sure to head over to @reallife.english on Instagram and check that out. And we'll see you next time here on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Aww, yeah. Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.